ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we are starting reading next chapter, chapter 13, description of future manas. I'll first read the introduction, after that we are going through verses, different verses. Of the 14 description of future manas, of the 14 manas, 6 manas have already been described. Now this chapter will consecutively describe each manu from the 7th to 14. The 7th manu, who is the son of Vivaswan, is known as Shraddhadeva. He has 10 sons named Ikshvaku, Nabaka, Drishta, Sharyati, Narishyanta, Nabaga, Dishta, Tarusha, Prashadra, and Vasuman. In this Manvantara, or reign of Manu, among the demigods are the Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Vishvadevas, Maruts, Ashwini Kumaras, and Ribhus. The king of heaven, Indra, is known as Purandara, and the 7 sages are known as Kashyapa, Atri, Vasishta, Vishwamitra, Gautama, Jamadagni, and Bharadvaja. During this period of Manu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, appears from the womb of Aditi in his incarnation as the son of Kashyapa. In the period of the 8th Manu, the Manu is Savarni. His sons are headed by Nirmoka, and among the demigods are the Suttapas. Bali, the son of Virochana, is Indra, and Galava and Parashurama are among the 7 sages. In this age of Manu, the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears as Sarvabhauma, the son of Devaguhya and Saraswati. In the period of the 9th Manu, the Manu is Daksha Savarni. His sons are headed by Bhuta Ketu, and among the demigods are the Marichi Garvas. Arbhuta is Indra, and among the 7 sages is Dyutiman. In this period of Manu, the incarnation Rishabha is born of Ayusman and Ambudara. In the period of the 10th Manu, the Manu is Brahma Savarni. Among his sons is Buri Shena, and the 7 sages are Havishman and others. Among the demigods are the Suvasanas, and Shambhu is Indra. The incarnation in this period of Manu is Vishvaksena, who is friend of Shambhu, and who is born from the womb of Vishuchi in the house of Brahmana named Vishvasrashta. In the period of the 11th Manu, the Manu is Dharma Savarni, who has 10 sons headed by Satya Dharma. Among the demigods are the Vihangamas. Indra is known as Vaidrita, and the 7 sages are Aruna and others. In this Manvantara, the incarnation is Dharma Setu, who is born of Vidharta and Aryaka. In the period of the 12th Manu, the Manu is Rudra Savarni, whose sons are headed by Devavan. The demigods are the Haritas and others. Indra is Rita Dama, and the 7 sages are Tapomurti and others. The incarnation of this Manvantara is Sudama, or Svadama, who is born from the womb of Sunrita. His father's name is Satya Saha. In the period of the 13th Manu, the Manu is Deva Savarni. Among his sons is Chitrasena. The demigods are the Sukarmas and others. Indra is Divaspati and Nirmoka is among the sages. Then Manvantara Avatara is Yogeshwara, who is born of Devahotra and Brihati. In the period of the 14th Manu, the Manu is Indra Savarni. Among his sons are Uru and Gambira. The demigods are the Pavitras and others. Indra is Shuchi, and among the sages are Agni and Bahu. The incarnation of this Manvantara is known as Brihadvanu. He is born of Satrayana from the womb of Vitana. The total duration of this period ruled by these Manus is calculated to be 1,000 Chaturyugas, or 4,300,000 times 1,000 years. Text 1. Shri Shuka Uvacha Manoriva Svatak Putra Shada Deva Iti Shutaha Saptamo Vartmano Vartmano Yas Tatapatyani Meshrinu Shri Shuka Uvacha Manoriva Svatak Putra Shada Deva Iti Shutaha Saptamo Vartmano Yas Tatapatyani Meshrino Shri Shuka Uvacha Manoriva Svata Putra Shada Deva Iti Shutaha Saptamo Vartmano Yas Tatapatyani Meshrino Mataji. Sri Shuka Vacha. Sri Shuka Goswami said, Manuhu, Manu, Vivasvataha, of the Sun God, Putraha, Sun, Shradadevaha, as Shradadeva, Iti, thus, Shrutaha, known, celebrated, Saptamaha, seventh, Vartmanaha, at the present moment, Yaha, he who, Tat, he is, Apatyani, children, me, from me, Shrinu, just here. Purport, translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, the present Manu, who is named Shradadeva, is the son of Vivasvan, the predominating deity of the sun planet. Shradadeva is the seventh Manu. Now please hear from me as I describe his sons. Text 2, 3. Translation. I just read translation. O King Parikshit, among the ten sons of Manu are Ikshvaku, Nabaga, Drishta, Saryati, Narishyanta, and Nabaga. The seventh son is known as Dishta, then come Tarusha and Prishadra, and the tenth son is known as Vasuman. Text 4. In this Manvantara, O King, the Adityas, the Vasus, the Rudras, the Vishvedevas, the Maruts, the two Ashwini Kumaras, Kumara brothers, and the Ribhus are the demigods. Their head king Indra is Purandara. Text 5. Kashyapa, Atri, Vashishta, Vasishta, Vishwamitra, Gautama, Jamadagni, and Bharadvaj are known as the seven sages. Text 6. In this Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as the youngest of all the Adityas, known as Vamanam. The dwarf, his father was Kashyapa and his mother Aditi. Text 7. I have briefly explained to you the position of the seven Manus. Now I shall describe the future Manus along with the incarnations of the Lord Vishnu. Text 8. O King, I have previously described in the sixth canto the two daughters of Vishwakarma named Samgina and Chaya, who were the first two wives of Vivasvan. Text 9. It is said that the sun god had a third wife named Vadava. Of the three wives, the wife named Savgya had three children, Yama, Yami, and Shradadeva. Now let me describe the children of Chaya. Text 10. Chaya had a son named Savarni and a daughter named Tapati, who later became the wife of King Samvarana. Chaya's third child is known as Samaishara, Saturn. Vadava gave birth to two sons, namely the Ashwini brothers. Text 11. O King, when the period of the eighth Manu arrives, Savarni will become the Manu, Nirmoka and Viraska will be among his sons. Purport. The present reign is that of Vaisvata Manu. According to astronomical calculations, we are now in the 28th yuga of Vaisvata Manu. Each Manu lives for 71 yugas, and 14 such Manus rule in one day of Lord Brahma. We are now in the period of Vaisvata Manu, the 7th Manu, and the 8th Manu will come into existence after many millions of years. But Shukadeva Goswami, having heard from authorities, foretells that the 8th Manu will be Savarni and that Nirmoka and Virajaska will be among his sons. Shastra can foretell what will happen millions and millions of years in the future. Om Agyanati Miranda Sakana Jana Shlakaya Chakshumi Taminata Smashi Gravena Ha Shri Chaitanya Manabhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dharati Svaparantikam Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So thank you all of us to allow me to be here and try to say some useful things to glorify Krishna, try to please you. So please give me your mercy. So I have my papers here to help me to speak a little bit. So this is explain how Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna. And because it's compiled by Sri Vyasadeva, who is literary incarnation, who is incarnation of Krishna, and he appeared 5,000 years ago, and is situated in even now today in Badarik Ashram in India, area of Badarik Ashram. And first thing, what came in my mind is when I was young. Devotee, just newcomers. I was coming to temple in Croatia, and Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, very advanced devotee of Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON Guru, he gave a class, and he was just reading about Srila Vyasadeva, and he's living in Badarik Ashram, and then he's 5,000 years old. So when I heard that, I was a little bit, you know, puzzled. And after class, I asked him the questions. I said, is it really true? And he said, yes, definitely. And my other question was, can I visit him? He said, yes. But it was just, you know, just come automatically out from my mind. So I was curious to go there and figure out if it's really true. But so later on, like newcomers, I start to read Srimad Bhagavatam, and many doubts come in my mind about all this, you know, information, fantastic information. For me, it was very difficult to have the faith into that. But in that time, I was a little bit inclined to, like, I was some kind so-called impersonalist or Mayavadis. I used to read many books about yoga, meditation, Buddhism. And in the beginning of my life, I was completely atheist. I didn't believe in God. So, like, later on, I found out Srila Prabhupada books, then generally, people today, you can put them in four categories. First one is they're materialistic people. And if they're a little bit more advanced, you can call them karmis, in reference to Vedic culture, Vedic scriptures. Maybe in India, some of them, you can call them like that. On another one were gyanis. Today, you can call, you know, maybe some philosopher, scientist, some kind of gyanis. And in a broader sense, in terms of Vedic literature, there are like Mayavadis and impersonalists. You can still find them in India. And also yogis. Today, in the West also, we have so many yoga society. They teach yoga. So many people are familiar with that. And on the end, devotees. And it's explained actually then only devotees can understand Srimad Bhagavatam and a story about Krishna. And so I was actually, I start my, you can say, spiritual career from the beginning. I didn't believe in God. On the gradually, you can say gradually I was progressing from first to second stage. I was reading many books like so-called Gyani. And I was going to start to practicing yoga. And ultimately start to be devotees. So today, many devotees, many people, there you can put them in that category. Many people are trying to progress, going through all these stages because this is available today in the world. This kind of teaching is available. You can say some pervading reflection of original deep teaching from India mentioned in Vedas is reflected in on the West, and because people on the West is very speculative, so there is so many, you know, different understanding and teaching and schools, different schools, and but still people are progressing gradually, you know, to they want spiritual life. So first thing, what struck me in Srila Prabhupada books is just verses like that one. If you are in the stage of understanding God is everything and everywhere, and after that we are going to some light. So when you read Srila Prabhupada books and it's explained about God is Supreme Person, and there is so many other personality, a very elevated personality. First things that come in my mind was, I was so small, insignificant personality. I was nobody. And in comparison with all this, you know, people, what is mentioned in this verse today. So, for example, I was reading about points of reincarnation in different so-called Mayavadi books, yoga, meditation, but doesn't make complete sense. But only when I come in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam, sense of reincarnation and purpose of reincarnation makes sense. Ultimate goal is actually to attain supreme personality of Godhead and develop love for God. But this kind of understanding is not explained nicely and doesn't make sense. You feel then something's missing there. Just because you feel the newer person and always you feel then, but something's missing. You feel they are very in material life. You are very frustrated, and. So, when you come in contact with Srila Prabhupada books, it just makes sense. Then I am still person, and because Krishna is person, I can develop this nice relation with him and develop all this spiritual quality. What in other scriptures is so-called Mayavadi Yoga Society scriptures is not explained that way, and you are again just frustrated. So in the beginning I had many doubts, but devotee told me, just follow the process, chant Hare Krishna, try to be enthusiastic and everything will come to the place. So I did it, and gradually everything came to the, make some sense. Especially when I start to read Krishna book, and there is explained about all this beautiful relationship with beautiful Krishna, all-powerful, almighty, have it the devotees, and how he killed demons. They just really make sense to me. And everything else what I read in Srimad Bhagavatam until that time, it doesn't make sense. I said, okay, it doesn't matter, who cares? Because Krishna is so attractive. And these pastimes in Krishna books is so nice, it just makes sense. Let me just chant Hare Krishna and follow this process, you know. So I did it, and of course, gradually more realization come, more faith in my heart start to build up. And I remember one story devotee used to tell me. There is many stories like that, but one of them is, I don't know where this story come from, but goes like, you know, if God is all-powerful, all-omniscient, he can do anything, and anything impossibly possible. Is it possible that he can produce, make, you know, manifest some stone, what very heavy, heavy stone, what he even himself cannot lift it? And the devotee told me, yes, it's possible. God can do anything. He can produce this kind of stone. But also they told me next moment he can lift it again. So just this simple story made complete sense to me. When I was thinking, if God is really all-powerful, all-potent, all-mission, and he can do everything possible, impossible, that everything what is written in these books is quite possible. I don't need to think about. And later, there is explained many different things, how we are. We have imperfect senses, like human body. We are not perfect, like human beings. So because of these four defects, imperfect senses, we always make mistakes, we are always in illusion, and we have tendency to cheat. So it just makes sense. Then, you know, I have to just surrender to Krishna, and he will reveal everything to me, what is necessary. And it's explained later on that even if you don't understand everything, what is not completely possible, who can understand Krishna? There's many stories how he himself cannot understand himself, because this Ananda Buddhi Vardhan is always increasing. He's always surprised how his energy is working, you know, his own energy. So I don't care, you know, it's not possible to me understand completely Krishna, but I can develop love of God for him. It is enough for me. And this is what is explained in the Krishna book, these elevated topics about relation with Krishna. So, you know, everybody else wants to be intelligent, and because Krishna is the most intelligent, so the best thing is to surrender to him. So in our stage of developing love of God, we are in different level of Krishna consciousness, and it's explained that only pure devotee have complete faith, complete knowledge to some degree, highest beauty, highest mercy and compassion, highest love for Krishna. So we have to just try to be pure devotee, and everything else makes sense on the end. So these books is so elevated because I try to focus on last sentence in the purport, how this shastra is so perfect. In the shastra is explained something will happen millions of years in the future. So Srila Vyasa, because he is literal incarnation of God, he was at that time, is explained in a stage of labho paschanti. This is a stage of consciousness when you are completely aware of what will happen in past, what past, present, and future. So this stage of consciousness is beyond effects of time, false ego, most material nature, and so he can foretold, he can see what will happen in the future. So in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, at that time, Srimad Bhagavatam is written 5,000 years ago, Lord Buddha is predicted. Even is mentioned in 155 page of first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how he will appear in Gaya province in India, and his actually grandmother will be Agyana. And and then he will preach. He's mentioned son of Agyana, but later on find out actually he was grandmother. Anyway, I find some information. So anyway, and Lord Buddha was appear because he his mission to bewildered people in that time, and who supposed to follow Vedic sacrifice, but they are just killing animals in the name of Vedic sacrifice, and they were developing actually atheistic point of view, and they were very cruel, untruthful with very bad quality. So in that time, Lord Buddha preached ahimsa to stop animal killings, and he was actually neglected Vedic literature, and he was preaching about ultimately then everything is void and illusion, and then we have to go to nirvana stage outside of material consciousness, material mind, because of that, you know, he convinced people, and people start to follow him in that time. And but later on, Shankaracharya appeared. It's explained actually that Shankaracharya, he was incarnation of Lord Shiva, and his purpose was actually to now in that time, you can say, change the Buddhist point of view, and actually he eradicated Buddhists from India, they kick out Buddhists from India, and his teaching was still actually back up on Vedic literature, but his philosophy was everything is temporary, material world is temporary, illusion, false, but everything is philosophy is called Advaita, non-dualistic, because he was saying then point of view, because he was saying then jiva and soul, jiva or soul is identical with Brahman, so there is no supreme God. There is just everything is one big one. So when you left your body, you go to this big one, big light. And so he convinced many people, because for them they were easy to switch from Buddhist philosophy to his philosophy. And you can say he paved the way to later appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord, Buddha is predicting in Srimad Bhagavatam, and Shankaracharya, he is predicting also in many Puranas. I write down here, I just can't remember, but he was... he was predicting Padma Purana, Kurma Purana, Shiva Purana, and this again prove how Vedic literature is so accurate, and then everything is laid down very nicely, what was going on in the past and what will happen even in future. But on the end, actually, Shankaracharya, he also has commentary of Bhagavad Gita, his own commentary, and it's called Meditation Bhagavad Gita. And on the end of that meditation, it's explained how actually one verse goes like, "Worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship Govinda, you intellectual fools, at the end of your life, all your grammatical arguments will not help you." So some of his followers neglect this statement. And unfortunately, today still we have so many impersonalistic teaching, Mayavadi teaching all the world. But some of them get the lessons. This is how history goes. But he paved the way to appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So people will start to be more ready to accept Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And then we are parts of Krishna, then we have beautiful relation with Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mentioned in different scriptures, in Bhavishya Purana, in Mundaka Upanishad, in Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned, and Vayu Purana. There is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the age of Kali, intelligent person perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sing the names of Krishna. Along with his complexion, Although his complexion is not blackish like that of Lord Krishna, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associate, servants, vipans, and confidential companions. This is explained also in Mahabharata, Sveta Shvatara Upanishad, is one Upanishad, very less known, Chaitanya Upanishad. Lord Chaitanya is also explained and he will appear. So again, this kind of affirmation proved the authenticity and power of the scriptures. So we should never doubt, you know, revealed scriptures, Vedic literature. So there is so many other things for foretold in the future, how Kali Yuga will progress and will be terrible situation, you know, consciousness of people will be terrible, many different terrible things will happen in our world, disaster, diseases, wars, what already is going on just now, and will be worse more and more how Kali Yuga progresses. And even 5,000 years ago, Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, there is verse 16:8, what Krishna is saying, that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. Because of this, they feel justified in doing whatever they like in order to attain instant sensual pleasure and quick profit. Srila Prabhupada explained purport, something like that. So Krishna said in that time what was going on and what will going on, and just in today same things you can recognize in world situation. He explained in 16:11 that verse, they believe that the gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human civilization. So we see everybody is looking after gratifying their senses and no higher purpose in life. And why is like that? He said because they are bound by network hundreds of thousands of desires, Bhagavad Gita 16:12. So people are full of material desires, and because of that they are producing unbeneficial horrible acts mean to destroy the world. And this is going on world just today. So much pollution is going on, pollution in society, pollution in the mind of the people, and because people that are polluted, everything what they are doing is polluted, their action is like that, environment is polluted, relation between people and nation is polluted, and this what's going on. What time is it now, please? Okay. Mm-hmm. But there is one good thing, and it's predicted. Sometimes devotees have doubt about where is this statement, and in 10,000 years this knowledge will spread. But it's find out actually Brahma Vaivarta Purana, when Krishna tells Ganga Devi that there will be a golden age within the Kali Yuga that will start 5,000 years ago after the beginning of the age of Kali. It will last for 10,000 years and 15,000 years into the age of Kali, the full force of Kali will manifest. So 5,000 years ago Krishna appeared, so we are just in the beginning of this golden age. And by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have chance to be part of that, and we have chance to share this knowledge with others. And I think this is all what I want to say, because my service is book distribution, pretty nice service. I really recommend to everybody to somehow other try to do this service to a small or less degree. And so this is the chance actually to be part of the changing what's going on in the world today. And on a daily basis we see, you know, you met very nice people who appreciate that box, who are coming on a Sunday feast. I sometimes get you know, telephone numbers from them, have contact with them. They're coming here or they're reading these books. So I think everybody of us also have same experience to preach to these kind of people. And there will be more and more of these kind of people today. And it's just a question of time how this golden age will expand more and more. Maybe not to the degree in our lifetime. Maybe Krishna wanted, then we also take birth again and again. Srila Prabhupada said this is pure devotion, actually, to preach glories of Krishna life after life. But, you know, Krishna is satisfied also if he just won't go back to Godhead. It's also okay. So, good deal. One way or another. So, I will stop here. Please bless me, then I can perform this kind of activity. then I can serve my Guru Maharaj Devamrita Swami and Srila Prabhupada and Acharyas in the line of disciples section up to Lord Krishna. And I also beg for your mercy, then I can have your relationship with you based of good Vaishnava quality. And this is actually the only way how we can advance together. So I will stop here. Did everybody have some question or comments or maybe some suggestion? Sorry. Otherwise, I'll just stop here. Goranga! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Boom.